Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hosting the So Money podcast for almost 10 years, I've been learning a lot about how to best serve you outside the show. I've begun to offer pop-up workshops and a So Money members club. And with each new line of business, a lot goes on behind every transaction. Stripe helps simplify and ease payments with Tap to Pay on iPhone, which helps me grow revenue and reach through accepting more in-person, contactless payments when I'm out in real life promoting my programs. Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe give me the ability to scale quickly and stay flexible with quick setup and no additional hardware required. And it's not just ideal for me. From local pop-ups to global retailers, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe help businesses of all sizes accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. Whether your customers want to use their card, Apple Pay, or other digital wallet, now you can accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone. So Money episode 843, Todd Herman, author of The Alter Ego Effect, The Power of Secret Identities to Transform Your Life.
You're listening to So Money with award-winning money guru Farnoosh Torabi. Each day, get a 30-minute dose of financial inspiration from the world's top business minds, authors, influencers, and from Farnoosh herself. Looking for ways to save on gas or double your double coupons? Sorry, you're in the wrong place. Seeking profound ways to live a richer, happier life? Welcome to So Money.
Life is challenging. Life is hard. You know, leveraging an alter ego to allow you to slay those dragons and those enemies to move more gracefully through things is a fantastic thing to leverage.
Do you have a secret identity? Our guest today says you might want to consider adopting one. Welcome to So Money, everybody. I'm your host, Farnoosh Torabi, and today we are welcoming Todd Herman to the program. Todd is the author of the new book, The Alter Ego Effect, The Power of Secret Identities to Transform Your Life. And just to put things in perspective, just how hot this book is, it had close to 20 publishers fighting over it. Quite the bidding war. And you can actually get your copy tomorrow when it hits all bookstores. Who is Todd Herman? He is a friend. He grew up on a farm in Alberta, Canada, milking cows, taking care of chickens. Today, he is a toughness and performance coach to professional and Olympic athletes. He's also a dad. He's also a leadership and performance advisor to billionaires and hundreds of entrepreneurs. And not to mention, he has created this incredible business achievement program called the 90-Day Year. It's catered to business owners who want to master the art of execution. I've actually spoken at 90 Day Year. I know firsthand Todd is incredible at what he does. Now, today he's going to share why having an alter ego is critical to achieving your goals, whether they're to master your finances, climb in your career, anything, and how to identify and tap into your alter ego. Todd's also going to share the alter egos of some pretty famous people, including Oprah. She's actually talked about how she channels a specific group of people. I had no idea about this. And then finally, the incredible daily practice that Todd says has been the greatest method for him to build and nurture relationships. It's something we can all do. And it's actually quite simple when you think about it. Here is Todd Herman. Todd Herman, welcome to So Money and congratulations. Your book is launching tomorrow. I feel very fortunate to have you on right before it happens, before you take over the world even more than you have already. But welcome to So Money.
Farnoosh Torabi, you are a peach. Thanks for having me. And yeah, it's an exciting time.
Calling me a peach from a farm boy. Grew up.
Yes.
I'm going to take that as a compliment.
Yes, you should. It's a colloquial term that is a term of endearment. So yes.
Wonderful. So let's just get right to the big news, which is your new book, your first book, probably one of many. It's called The Alter Ego, Alter Ego Effect, The Power of Secret Identities to Transform Your Life. And this is really a book that encapsulates your life's work in training top athletes to perform at their peak. And, you know, there's a lot of philosophical quotes out there, you know, hashtag Monday Motivation on Instagram. You hear like, just be yourself. It's all about being yourself. And what you're prescribing is this alter ego effect, which reconcile that for me. So am I being myself? Am I being someone different? What does that mean?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I always challenge people around the idea that because authenticity is really the term that people kind of will trot out then. Right. But what does authenticity mean? And so for me, someone who helps, Olympic athletes, top pro athletes or top leaders in business and entrepreneurs and all sorts of types with our training programs. The thing that people struggle with the most is that when they lay their head on the pillow at night and they get there and they look back on their day, that there were these moments where they didn't perform like they know that they could. And we call those things moments of impact, where there was this opportunity to say something, introduce yourself to someone, you know, maybe speak up in a conference room when someone had shared something, or when someone makes a comment to someone else that put them down in some way, and you don't say something, or you don't do something, or you didn't respond to your son or daughter the way that you wanted to. Well, that's operating inauthentically. And I'm not saying that to beat people up and you're supposed to judge yourself with it, but that's what we as human beings do. We beat ourselves up when we lay our head on the pillow at night and we just lament about what we could have done. And so authenticity in my world, and in, I think I would encourage other people's world, is to think of it like this. It's that when the results that you're getting on the field of play, the ambitions that you have, are not a reflection of who and what you're capable of. That is authenticity, or being inauthentic, is when you have the capacity to do something and you're not doing it. That's inauthenticity. And so that's why, I mean, the term fake it till you make it, it's a terrible term because, well, A, the word fake it is in there. And there's, as you know, there's probably better ways of saying things than that. The alter ego effect has nothing to do with faking something, because faking something is, that feels like an outside approach. It's like an outside, I'm going to fake it on the outside, but inside I'm actually not feeling that way. This, and I talk about the science of it throughout the book. This is about acting very intentionally about who and what we're bringing onto our important fields of play that we stand on. And I use that term all the time. It just represents, you know, we all have different stages. We have, you know, you've got your vocational world or your business world that you stand on, or you've got your home life, or you've got your relatives, or you've got your friends that you hang out with. Those are all different stages or circumstances that you put yourself in. And of course, we all have different parts of our personality that get magnified when you're not the same when you're with your friends as you are with mom and dad. There's elements of you that get highlighted. Right. And so this adoption of an alter ego or a secret identity that we use to help people perform is to allow some people who have struggled with themselves because of maybe trauma, something that happened to them in the past, or it could be even something as simple as I want to maybe tap into a different side of my personality. And it's a creative expression for them. And we can talk about stories and examples in a second. Just allows them to activate something that is really powerful and a part of the human condition. And it's this ability to create our own worlds, this imagination, this creative imagination that human beings are gifted with that truly makes us unique on the planet. Well, we leverage that to help us get out of our own way and untap the capabilities that we have instead of keeping them trapped inside of us.
The promise of your book is quite liberating, that you can actually step into this alternative persona to accomplish what you want to accomplish. And to transition to one story that was really pivotal for you, I guess maybe was your aha moment, was when you met Bo Jackson, the professional athlete who took on the alter ego of Jason from Friday the 13th when he would step on the field, which begs the question, how do you identify who this alter ego is and should be, he happened to watch a movie and was sort of fascinated by the cold, calculating nature of Jason. And maybe that's what was, he related to that on some level. But how do you identify this person, this alternative ego?
Yeah. So we all have these parts of ourselves that I talk about in the book, and as just a frame of reference, I talk about the ordinary world and the extraordinary world. And in the ordinary world, the enemy pulls us in there, and he uses, you know, different forces to kind of trap us, which are things like judgment and criticism and worrying about what others are thinking about you. And like I said before, trauma is something that is a major hidden force, or imposter syndrome. And so there's these parts of ourselves that we wish sometimes we were showing up as, and they actually end up coming down to like qualities and characteristics that maybe we wish that we were displaying. And it's the most obvious thing to go to for people as a frame of reference is when you're watching a movie, because you're so caught up in the story and you resonate with it. And there might be something with the protagonist that you're like, oh man, I love how Lara Croft is just so adventurous. And she can just figure it out, like MacGyver just figures things out. Or, you know, James Bond is just like cool and calm and just that brazen confidence that he walks into a room with. Or you could go to superheroes or literary characters. And so all of us have some character from our past that we just naturally are drawn towards. And you just ask yourself, well, what is it about them? Because sometimes we see in those characters what we wish that we had in ourselves. And then when you relate it to, like, if it's, you're struggling with something in business, maybe you're in a sales role, or maybe you're a parent and you wish, like my alter ego, when I've got three little kids live here in New York City. And I tell people it's like raising an oak tree and a thimble here in New York. But when I think of someone who is almost inarguably just the best human around children, it was Mr. Rogers. And I grew up watching Mr. Rogers. And so if I can take on some of his characteristics as a parent, you know, and they're inside of me, I'm just using him as a frame of reference to draw them out of me, so that when, you know, my middle one, Sophie, who's got this fantastic ability to send a crescendo of, you know, screeching and crying to a level that drives me into a rage, it would be terrible for me to meet that energy with, you know, a rageful energy as well, or anger as well. And so, well, what would Mr. Rogers do in that moment? Well, he would always get down on his knee and get down to eye level with young kids. So that's what I do as well. And instead of me coming at them with that same emotion, I'm going to come at them with the same sort of caring and affection and love that he would. Now, it might sound crazy to someone that, you know, that I have to literally think about that. But again, none of us are perfect human beings. And so using these things as helpful totems and just markers for us to adopt. And I mean, it's transformed the way that, you know, Sophie in the past would have kind of gone off. And because that's my first response now, is to get down and just give her a big hug and embrace. The length of time that it takes for her to kind of overcome those things is completely shrunk in, you know, to, you know, a few seconds as opposed to several minutes. But
I think the world would be a better place if we all adopted Mr. Rogers to some extent.
I don't know if you've ever seen the amazing documentary that was done on him.
Yes, of course.
But a third of that documentary is talking about what? His alter ego, that cat puppet that he used.
Yeah.
And his wife talks about it in the movie, where she said, he used the puppet as his alter ego, but that was really who he truly was. He allowed the puppet to kind of draw out of him how he really felt, which was this loving and affection. And, you know, for
Daniel
him,
Daniel Tiger, was it the Daniel Tiger?
Daniel thing? Tiger was his.
He's like the new generation Mr. Rogers.
It's exactly what it is. And so, which is just incredible. Like, I get shivers thinking about it. Cause as soon as I started watching the movie,
I was in tears on a plane watching this. I was that person. And
so I watched it on a plane as well. what's crazy about this is what I know is going to happen from the book, because again, I've been living in this world I've been building alter egos for athletes to help them with performance for, you know, well over a decade. It's been 16 years. And I know that it's kind of one of those things where People can't unsee it now. They're going to hear people talk about it all the time in interviews, that it's such a prolific thing. And the most common response I get back from people actually has nothing to do with, you know, it being inauthentic or being fake, or it, that's actually very rarely an objection I get from people. What people often say is, Todd, I feel like I've been doing that, or I've done that in the past. And my response back to people all the time is, I know you have, because it's a natural part of the human condition. Every young kid, every single one of us pretended to be a superhero at some point in time, or a nurse, or a fireman, or a cowboy, or insert whatever, you know, role or kind of character there is out there. We all played with this idea. And then over time, we're told to act our age. And then we start to create a narrative in our head that, oh, acting my age or growing up means stop being playful. And yet this is the thing that, I mean, 82% of my clients, just so you know, in pro Olympic sports and in high achieving other fields, I have referred off to some of the top therapists on the planet, because many, many people are driven by trauma. Many, many people, I'm one of them, have been through some tough things. And that's not what I do. I'm not a therapist by any stretch of the imagination. I'm a mental game strategist at peak performance, which means I'm giving people strategies to help continue to perform. Now, I'm not here to help someone unpack trauma. There's other people that are far more skilled at that. And I think you would agree, there's a lot of people out there who are kind of, who say that they do a heck of a lot more than what their skills allow them to. It's like the answer that, you know, because I'm a life coach, I can do, I can solve everyone's problem. Well, maybe you should stay in your lane and just stick to your specialty. But,
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd love to learn a little bit more about your background. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've known each other for some time, but we really haven't had an opportunity to unpack Todd Herman a little bit. And you have on your site these really fun bullet points mm-hmm. about, like, fun facts about Todd Herman. So just want to share some of those with our audience to give a little bit of color to the man behind this amazing book. So we've already established that you're a farm boy mm-hmm. from Alberta, Canada. And this was fascinating to read. You are a daily letter writer. You've written over 4,000 personal letters to people, 5 a week since you were in your early 20s. What? Why?
It was a challenge by an early mentor of mine, Jim Rohn, who was famous in the speaking world back in the early 90s. He passed away in 2009, but he was kind of one of the fathers of the speaking world and an amazing business philosopher. But we were talking about just sort of some of the things that he would, I was just asking him, like, what are some, like, when you point to some of the activities that you do that help you to be successful, like, what are they? And oftentimes, like, we all do this. We think of, some action steps that are, that take you directly towards the goal. And what he said was, relationships are always the thing that are going to grease the slide for you, Todd. Never forget that. Like, when two people might be going after the same contract to get a job, and one person is amazing at persuasion, but the other person knows the owner of the company and they've had a relationship for a long time, that person's going to get the role. So anyways, he was just telling me about that. And he said, you know, that he has a habit of writing letters to people. So I thought, okay, well, maybe I'll write. And I said to him, I said, well, I'll write a letter. And he's like, I challenge you to write a letter a week. And I did it. And I wrote my first letter. And only a few days later, I got a response back from the person. And it was so positive. It made me feel so good. And I was like, well, why wouldn't I want to do this every single day? And so people talk about, like, gratitude journals and how important, you know, that emotion of gratitude is. And so my letter a day writing habit is my way of taking the amazing, powerful emotion of gratitude and not keeping it with me and passing it on. So if I read Farnoosh Torabi's amazing book, I will sit down and I will write you a letter. Every single book I've ever read, I've always sent a letter to that author. And the most common response back I get from people, and again, I've written now well over 4,000 letters, is, you have no idea how much I needed to get this today. Because just think about it. Life is challenging, which is actually what I talk about in the book. Just life is challenging. Life is hard. You know, leveraging an alter ego to allow you to slay those dragons and those enemies to move more gracefully through things is a fantastic thing to leverage. Writing a letter to someone and saying, you know, Farnoosh, we've never had the opportunity to meet before, but I just wanted to say how much I appreciate you sitting down and slaving away at writing this book. Before I actually wrote a book, what I would say is I've never written a book before, but what I know is from hearing other people talk about it, it's the most difficult thing. Specifically, I love what you wrote on page 72. It completely shifted my perspective about money. And then I'll put in the words that you said in the book. And then I'll say, I'll end it with simply, thank you so much for taking the time to put your words and your experiences on paper. It impacted me. So thank you. All the best.
That's
Todd
beautiful.
Herman. And I never ask for anything. There's no, hey, if you're ever in New York City sometime, you know, ping me. Right. Yeah, I'd love to buy you coffee. Nothing like that. It's just.
Here's my resume.
Yeah.
Right. Are you emailing these letters now? Because it's so hard to find people's home addresses.
No, not at all. In fact, I've got my kit that I use every single morning, and I have a wax seal.
Wow.
So I, you know, use the classic or the old school. I drip the wax on the envelope, and I have my seal and I stamp it shut. And I even have a very specific wax that I use, because the way that the people who've never sent a wax sealed letter before don't know this, but if you use too hard of wax, the way that letters are sorted in the U.S. Postal Service and any other postal service ends up breaking the wax. So you have to use a wax that's got some flexibility to it. So I have a specific wax that I use. And
my goodness, The Art of Letter Writing by Todd Herman.
Yeah.
This is
I don't email anything. I want to show up in someone's in mailbox.
You are a bright sock enthusiast as well. Did you like that transition?
That was very journalistic. That was outstanding.
Yes. My Columbia master's degree in action. You are a root beer aficionado. You're a dyslexic.
Big time.
What age were you when you realized this, and that's a triumph in and of itself to come to sort of manage that, right? And then become so successful. I actually find that many dyslexics are like some of the most brilliant people I've ever met.
Well, and here's the interesting thing about it. So I've become a bit of a, I'd say, armchair expert at dyslexia. So there's actually 29 types of dyslexia. Last time I was told or checked, and you know, they might've found more, but I didn't find out until I was in a car accident when I was in my early 20s. And I got kind of T-boned. I got hit from the side by a moving truck. And so it was a big, not a semi, but a big truck. And my head went into the windshield on my side window. And then he kept on pushing me and into a lamp standard. And then my head kind of got thrown into the other side because my seatbelt busted and all this. Anyway, so I had to get all this like psychological testing done. And when I was going through this test, they were giving me around just how my vision was working. This psychiatrist came in. She said, "Have you been diagnosed with dyslexia?" And I said, "No." She's like, "You've got dyslexia." And I said, "Well, that would explain my entire childhood then, because, you know, reading was so hard for me." So there's people who get letters mixed up. There's some people who get words mixed up, so the sentence doesn't make sense. Mine is that the sentences and the argument of a paragraph gets jumbled by the time I get finished the paragraph. So it doesn't make sense in my head. And so I'd have to reread the same paragraph like 17 times. So if someone else is finishing a, 110 page, book when they're in grade 6 in, 3 hours, it's taking me an entire weekend to get through it. And how it ended up shaping a lot of my personality was I was a class clown, and I used that to deflect away the attention of maybe calling on me, especially after a reading assignment. And so, you're a class clown and you're interrupting kids, and which is a very common thing amongst people who are ADD or dyslexic. And to your point about successful people, four of the six sharks on Shark Tank are dyslexic. And it's because the world that you're operating inside of, because school is so rigid, because that world is not flexible and adaptable to you because it's so rigid, you have to end up finding creative ways to exist inside of it. So you end up leveraging and building a very good creative problem solving muscle at a young age, which then only serves you later in life. It doesn't feel like it's serving you early in life, but you build this really kind of strong muscle that really does serve you. And so I actually do a lot of I used to do a lot more than I am right now. I'm just really busy, but I used to do a lot of conversations to young kids around like, hey, listen, school can be tough, but this is not the prescription of what life is going to be like for many, because some of you are developing a muscle that is going to allow you to get flexed and bring you a level of success that you had no idea is waiting for you in the future.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
The weather's getting warmer as I record. It's a nice 73 degrees on the East Coast. So finally, time to say goodbye to jackets and sweaters and, fingers crossed, hello to shorts and tees. And I need to update my wardrobe for the long haul. And, you know, I don't want to spend a fortune. So luckily, I found Quince. I'm honest. I've got a lineup of timeless pieces from Quince that keep me looking effortlessly chic year after year. I'm talking premium European linen dresses, blouses and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and tons more. Best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. I have t-shirts from Quince, pajamas from Quince. My very chic and fashionable sister-in-law, Hannah, her whole closet is Quince. And people often stop us and ask, where did you get this? Don't tell me the price. And then when I do, they're shopping on Quince.com. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to Quince.com/SoMoney for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's Quince.com/SoMoney to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/SoMoney. For the longest time, I dreaded buying bras. It was like shopping for jeans. Impossible. You want a bra that's sexy? You want a bra that's comfortable? You can't have both. Well, now you can, thanks to Third Love. Third Love was started to take all the frustration, the ick, the ugh, out of bra shopping. That's why they make solutions for every bra problem or brablem. Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen since high school. Get smoothing, you know where, and have straps that actually stay put. Designed at their headquarters in San Francisco and made with premium materials, they put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before it's given the stamp of boob approval. Comfort and support are guaranteed. Plus, whether you're a AA cup or an H cup, their virtual fitting room will help you find your perfect fit fast. They even invented half cups. No more feeling stuck between two cup sizes that don't fit. It's time to get your problems solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get $15 off your order with the code PODCAST15. Did you know that I'm a podcast host and also a mind reader? Because I know that you want to grow your portfolio, to deal with the rising costs of inflation, to pay off your debt or your mortgage. You want to attack pretty much anything standing in the way of you and your financial freedom, right? Well, here's one solution: more knowledge. This podcast helps, I hope. And you can use Yahoo Finance, where you can get access to the news, data, and tools that you need to help reach your definition of financial freedom. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been the brand behind every great investor. They're the number one finance destination, and I know because I worked there for many years, producing a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, customizable charts, so much more. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com. That's yahoofinance.com.
Right. No, I completely agree with that. You also talk on your site, and you're very open about how you failed at several businesses. You've had so much success, and that has also brought with it some failure. In one case, you lost your entire life savings. This is a money show. We got to dive into this. Let's unpack that.
Yeah. So I was, when I started my sports business, I built it off of the back of speaking. And when you're speaking on stages, you get this great opportunity to be in front of sometimes people that aren't your ideal customer that you're going after at the time, but it still doesn't mean that they aren't resonating with your message. And so I'd have a lot of people who would come up to me, even though I'm working with athletes, and they'd say, listen, I loved what you had to say around, you know, mental toughness and developing that along with, you know, how to build strong teams. And do you do any work with the government? So my first ever client beyond sports was actually the Canadian government. And I went in and I did this training with them. So long story, I ended up building this really big leadership program for almost all of the oil companies around the world. And I ended up selling that business. And with the money that I made, I moved to New York City. This is back in 2007. And I started to come into the business of a friend who was scaling, but it was kind of beyond his skill now. And we partnered up together and he ended up a year later. So I bought into it with the money that I'd made plus a little bit more. And he embezzled all the money out of the business. And so I lost my all of what I had earned plus some more, putting me into debt. And so the lesson I took from it, cause I was, a week later, I was out for a drink with a friend of mine, Mel, here in New York. And she was like, this is unbelievable. If this was me, if I had just lost that much, and it's millions, if I had lost that much money, I would be underneath my covers, bawling my eyes out. How are you like out with me right now? And I was like, you know, yeah, of course I'm not happy that this happened, but I haven't lost my skill. And I am still young, thankfully. You know, I was 31 at the time or 32 at the time. And, I was saying that outwardly just so I could believe it as well, but I was upset. And, but the lesson I took away from it was, and I saw this, great kind of answer from Damon John, who's on Shark Tank. He was on a panel discussion at an event that I was at as well and speaking at. And, someone had asked the question around risk and how entrepreneurs are just more risky. And he said, they're not. That's one of the biggest mistakes that people make when they think of entrepreneurs. Entrepreneurs have a higher risk tolerance, but don't make the mistake of betting your entire life savings on starting something. Those stories are far more rare than they are status quo.
It's why they're stories, because
exactly
you're supposed to,
such a great way of putting it.
Man bites dog, not dog bites man. Right?
Yeah, yeah. And so my point around that is because again, you get clouded by the fact that this was a really close friend of mine, so you have a high degree of trust. That of course you're not even going to think about that. If this was someone who approached me, I'd be like, okay, well, how do I know this person? And yeah, so you know that was tough, but you know it took me 4 years to claw out of the 4.5 years to claw out of the $1 million+ in debt. And I mean, I actually met my wife in that time frame as well, which is why we have such a close relationship, because she didn't meet me when I was at my high time. You know, she met me when I was sort of crawling myself out. And yeah, so that's you know, there's a lot of good things that came out of it, but not to say that I didn't wish it didn't happen too. So.
What's your money mindset like these days when you, now that you've have all this experience to pull from, mm-hmm. and now you're very successful, what would you say is your greatest sort of money mantra, a philosophy around money that you have? You have a lot of philosophies around leadership and business and entrepreneurship, yeah. But what about money?
Yeah, I think that for me, money is on the other end of me continuously every day giving more and more value to other people. And the more, when I was young, I would try to take such a direct route to the money. Like I'd focus on money a lot. And then all it did was typically make me feel bad that I didn't have enough of it at the time. Cause it's such a scorecard for people. And again, this is coming from someone who comes from sports where we're always talking about, yes. You know, the outcome and even in the training that we do, the most stressed and anxious athletes, the most stressed and anxious business owners or corporate professionals are people who are always delaying gratification or delaying the enjoyment of their work until a goal is achieved. It's a terrible way to exist. You know, if you're always focused on outcomes, winning the race, earning the medal, winning the tournament, getting the check, all those kinds of things, they're fleeting moments in time. And so for me, I kind of back it up. And when I finally learned this for myself, again, it was me taking my own medicine from what I was telling other people, that if I just stay focused on the process, the money is absolutely the outcome. It's just, I just don't focus on it. And so I know that if I stick to doing the work that I am engineered to do, that I am built to do, and oftentimes built to do way better than other people, just money falls out the other side. I'll still set goals. Like we still have, like my wife is a CFO. Like we are, and I mean, it's a phenomenal skill set to have in house. Like she worked at Experian, which, and she was the CFO of one of their divisions. So she's got a phenomenal financial skill set, and it's amazing to have that in our house. But so we'll still set those financial goals for ourselves. I just don't focus on them. Almost, I'm of the type, because I train on this. The moment I set the goal, because it takes, for me, there's a lot of thinking that goes into the goal that I'm setting. And then the moment I've set the goal, my emotional response to the goal being set is it's inevitable. That thing has no chance of not getting hit.
Our sponsor is Chase Slate, and you were talking about goals. And one of the things that we've been asking guests in the beginning of the year is, what is something that your wife and you are working on financially this year? Is there a resolution? Is there a goal specific?
Yeah. So this year, the resolution for us is to solidify the financial system around our kids and their future now, because there were, again, just like many business owners, there's many things that happen to you that you just can't predict. And the last couple of years, I've had to go through a major lawsuit with a former business partner that I had to take to court. And, you know, those things are expensive. And so some of those kind of other financial goals were delayed. And so, but this year, it's about really putting together that financial system for our children, who are all very, very young still. So that's one of the things that we're solidifying. Some insurance stuff, just a lot of the kind of that security blanket kind of part of the financial stuff is a big part of it. And then because the book has been such a huge part of my mental bandwidth this last couple of years, now it's also looking at and getting involved in some other investments on the real estate side of things.
Awesome. Well, it's a good year to buy into real estate. I think it's definitely becoming more of a buyer's market. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to your point about getting your kids set up, that's so important, because I think, and I just had an interview with a wealth advisor who was telling me that, you know, for even the wealthiest of Americans, the transfer of wealth lasts maybe three generations.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a lot to say to someone like, you need to make as much money and have it last for all the generations to come. But then I think what's really the mistake that's happening is that over the years, and as it gets passed on, the generations don't do their part, right, to keep it going.
Yeah.
And to do make the sound investments and all that. So, but that's, it's nice to know that even when you achieve so much success, like Todd Herman, that there's still more that needs to be done on the financial plate. Like it's a work in progress.
Always. None of us are. And I mean, if there's one thing that I've been consistent with, that I always tell people, is if there's any level of success that I've had, is directly related to the quality of the mentors that I've had in that area. And so I didn't have, my father was always amazing with money. And my other brother, Ryan, who's a little bit older than me, he was around my dad more in working on the farm and ranch than I was. I was kind of around the house doing a lot of the kind of the crappy labor, like pulling the weeds in the windbreak where the trees were and stuff like that. But so Ryan was around dad, and he maybe had a little more of a personality for this too, but he's been amazing with his financial investments more than I was. And so I delayed getting a mentor in the financial area longer than I should have. And the moment that I did, then that whole world got figured out. Anytime you're trying to do things on your own, that's the slowest way that you can do anything.
Right. Right. No, absolutely.
So the fact that people are investing their time and mental bandwidth and energy for your podcast, I would say that easily the level of wealth awareness and skill for your podcast versus another podcast would be completely different.
Well, thank you.
Absolutely.
I'm going to put that on the cover of the podcast. Going in my marketing materials.
Where smart, wealthy people hang out. The So Money Podcast.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah. Todd Herman. Let's talk about, before we let you go, I kind of forgot to ask this, but it's so important. Your alter ego, mm-hmm. Todd, Superman.
Yeah. Well, he was an influence for it. Definitely. So,
okay.
Most of my kind of profile photos have me wearing a pair of glasses. And I mean, I talk about it in the book. When I started this business, I was 21 and I was so insecure with how young I looked. And when I played football at a high level and I played college football, I had an alter ego that I naturally used out on the football field, and it was Geronimo. And Geronimo was a composite of a Native American tribe that I kind of had in my head, taking out on the field, and that kind of like war dance type thing, but also Walter Payton and Ronnie Lott, who are two phenomenal Hall of Fame football players in the 80s and 90s. And they were my inspiration from a skill perspective. And so when I started the business and I was not doing the things that I needed to be doing in order to grow it, I was so insecure with how young I looked and who's going to listen to me if I'm on stage. I remembered the whole alter ego I use in football. And I was like, why don't I use the same thing, you know, in business? I'm still trying to perform. And I always was around people growing up that were incredibly smart. Mark, my best friend in my small little school that I was in, he had glasses. And in my sister's grade, the grade below me, James had glasses and he was super smart. So I just adopted this belief at a young age that young people that people who wear glasses are smart. So I went out to Lens Crafters at the West Edmonton Mall in Edmonton, and where I lived at the time, and I bought a pair of non-prescription glasses. Now, this was long before, this is 97, long before it was cool and fashionable and stylish to wear glasses. And even the optometrist was like, you don't want a prescription? Are you sure? And I was like, no, I got 2015 vision. It's funny look and all that. And I got the glasses and I left. But when I put them on, I called it my, reverse Superman or reverse Clark Kent. Superman would put on the glasses to become Clark Kent. I would put on the glasses to become my superhero version of myself in business. And those glasses, they carried with them the traits that I needed and that I wanted, which was to be decisive, which was to be confident and to be articulate. And when you know in our world, when you're trading information or ideas or coaching for dollars and cents, that what people are really buying from you is confidence. Because maybe at the time they don't have confidence, but they look to you as a vehicle to give them more confidence. So that's what I was really selling with people, was for them to be more confident. And they were going to get that from me with our system. And it changed. And the moment I would ever have a thought of being insecure about my age, I would immediately take those glasses off, because I would never dishonor my alter ego by wearing those glasses and feeling insecure, because Superman wouldn't.
That's a great story. I love that so much. And my son is 4 and a half, and between the hours of 5 p.m. and bedtime, he is Spider-Man. And because we've had this conversation now, Todd, I'm going to encourage him to continue this for as long as he wants.
Well, can I share with you one more story then that'll help?
Yes,
with that?
Please.
Because I'm sure there's a lot of people who've got young children or kids. And I find that stories about kids anyway just resonate with people. So one of the scientific studies that I reference in the book about why this process is so powerful for people is there's a great study that was done at the University of Minnesota by this lady where they brought a bunch of young 4 to 6 year olds into a room, and they had a puzzle in there for them to work on, but the puzzle was unsolvable. There was no way to solve the puzzle. And so they wanted to see how long they would stick out and work on the puzzle for until they kind of quit, to measure their level of grit and perseverance. Then afterward, they brought in a rack of costumes, Batman costumes and Dora the Explorer costumes, and said, hey, pick your favorite costume. And so they would, the kids would pick their favorite costume, put it on. And then they brought in another puzzle for them to try. And again, it's unsolvable. And they want to see how long they would stick it out now that they're wearing the costume. And the level of grit and perseverance of each of the kids went up markedly. But not only that, the surprising thing was the level of positive self-talk about themselves, because kids would say things like, Batman wouldn't quit, so I'm not going to quit. And that's the power of this. When we adopt the traits of the people that we admire or look up to or wish that we had, you end up displaying a side of yourself, or you start showing up differently, right? And that isn't being fake. That isn't being inauthentic. That's bringing your absolute heroic self to those moments of impact that are important to you. And so,
yeah, it's strategizing in real time with an actual model to reference, which is a real advantage in life. I'm going to have to think about who my alter ego is. I'm trying to think. I got a lot of people on my list of people I admire, and I've probably over the years taken bits and pieces from people like, I don't know, Oprah, Murphy Brown.
Mm-hmm. Murphy Brown, that's class.
Murphy, Candace Bergen.
Oh, I know. That's
class. Yeah, when I think about all the people that I loved to watch on TV when I was growing up, Barbara Walters.
Yeah.
But this is a, you know, when in doubt, always it's what would blank do? Yeah. And that's your...
Well, even Oprah Winfrey, I talk about Oprah's alter ego in the book and how she...
Who is it?
So Oprah's alter ego was the tribe of women that came before her that she is now standing on top of and allowing her to do what she can do now. So people like Maya Angelou, so hers was a composite of many. And so she has a quote that I share in the book. And she says, when I step on the stage, I never step on the stage myself. I step on the stage as one surrounded by many.
Wow.
And
my gosh.
I know. And it's what I'm like in the book. There's so many, even, and I'll let everyone know that. So on the cover of my book, is a pair of glasses. And of course I just told the story about myself. And so people automatically think, oh, okay, well that's Todd kind of in his glasses. No, it's actually not about my glasses. And people think, oh, okay, well it's the Clark Kent Superman. I think, well, that's kind of smart. It's actually not about Clark Kent Superman. The glasses that I have on the front cover of my book are an exact replica of one of the most famous people in modern American day history who led one of the most important movements of the 20th century. And you'll find out who it is if you read the book. There's so many stories, Farnoosh, of people like Oprah. Just they say subtle things that gives you a clue as to their mindset that helps them to do the hard things.
It's not a coincidence.
No.
It's not a coincidence how people achieve success. Todd Herman, thank you so much. The Alter Ego Effect is out tomorrow. So you can, that was a great tease, by the way. Yeah.
Well, they can scratch that itch in a very short amount of time. I'm excited. We've got it on Audible. So if people like it in audio form and, of course, Kindle and hardcover. So if you're someone who is an achiever and you do hard things, then I hope you'll find an answer in the Alter Ego Effect.
And if it's any indication of how incredible this book is, 19 publishers bidding on this book. Everybody wanted a piece of this. And I don't know who published it, but they're definitely lucky.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Thanks so much to Todd for stopping by. You can learn more about Todd at toddherman.me. Also check out his flagship program, 90dayyear.com. And the book again is called The Alter Ego Effect. You can follow Todd on Twitter and Instagram at Todd_Herman. If you missed any of this, just, you know what to do. Hop over to somoneypodcast.com. We've got all the goodies there for you, including the transcript, the audio, and there's also a button called Ask Farnoosh on the right. Click on that. Send me your question for the Friday episodes. Really love hearing from you. And if you're on Instagram, please join me there too, at Farnoosh Tarabi. Lots of questions answered there and some behind the scenes. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. And I hope your day is so money. Who hosting the So Money podcast for almost 10 years, I've been learning a lot about how to best serve you outside the show. I've begun to offer pop-up workshops and a So Money members club. And with each new line of business, a lot goes on behind every transaction. Stripe helps simplify and ease payments with Tap to Pay on iPhone, which helps me grow revenue and reach through accepting more in-person contactless payments when I'm out in real life promoting my programs. Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe give me the ability to scale quickly and stay flexible with quick setup and no additional hardware required. And it's not just ideal for me. From local pop-ups to global retailers, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe help businesses of all sizes accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. Whether your customers want to use their card, Apple Pay, or other digital wallet, now you can accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.